Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two of the program happening right now. Glad to have each and every one of you on board for us, with us, wherever you might be listening to the program. Odyssey app, 105 through the fan, Twitch, YouTube, all the things. Appreciate you on this Monday evening. We good to go with our boy. Let's jump out to the D&M Leasing Hotline. Welcome to the program from Blogging the Boys and Football Scribe Extraordinaire, the one, the only, Mr. Connor Livesay. Connor, we are in the official doldrums of the football season for the next 5 to 6 weeks until training camp kicks off, and then we can get excited again. So far, what is your biggest takeaway of this Dallas Cowboys season as we wait for the real thing to kick off?
I'd say the biggest thing that Cowboys fans should be excited about is that addition of George Pickens. That was like the big thing coming out of the draft, coming out of the offseason, is you kind of felt good about mostly every position but the wide receiver position, and then the addition of George Pickens gives the Cowboys two, you know, 1,000-plus yard receivers that can really make things difficult on defense, especially if you don't have that dynamic running game that I'm not sure anyone expects the Cowboys to have in 2025.
Connor, it's a pleasure having you on. Talk to me about the Cowboys defensive line and what you think that rotation will look like. Mazi Smith, was he impressing during these training camps? Do you think a guy like Toya could replace him in that spot? Kind of what is that front D line looking like? And then the edge rushers, who's kind of carving out that spot opposite of Micah and who's in those two spots?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see how, you know, the preseason training camp, preseason games will be big for Toya, be just to see kind of how he takes the adjustment from college to the NFL. I thought you saw some good things from Mazi Smith towards the end of the season, which is really the first time we've kind of been able to get a little bit excited about his progression since he was drafted in the first round a few years ago. I think the edge rush unit will be fine. I know there's a lot of discretion on the player that DeMarcus Lawrence was in Dallas in his last few years. He dealt with a lot of injuries, so he wasn't on the field full-time most of the time. But he did so much of the dirty work for this defensive line, you know, his run defense. And I know his sack numbers weren't good, but he was a guy who did score well in the pass rush win rate and stuff like that. So Donovan Ezeraku should be a, you know, role player in year one out of Boston College, not a guy who I think is going to get, you know, 7 or 8 sacks, needs to get a little bit stronger, but I think he's a guy who can win quick off the ball, can maybe play some of that versatile off the ball role, drop into coverage, rush the passer. But, you know, if Michael Parsons is healthy and playing each game, you know, this team's going to have a pretty quality pass rush. Bringing back Dante Fowler was a big move. But I'm interested to see how the edge rushers kind of play without DeMarcus Lawrence's run defense, because I think that's an issue that they've had throughout the years, even with him, is just the ability to stop the run on the opposite side of the line. And then you kind of got worse in that area with him leaving and really mainly focusing on the pass rush and kind of ignoring the run defense that he provided at the left defensive end spot.
You still feeling good about Sam Williams and Marshawn Nealand, two second-round guys that have either gotten hurt or just had some time to push back themselves on the depth chart? Kind of where do you think their role is in 2025-26?
Yeah, I mean, I was a big fan of Sam Williams coming out of the draft, and I thought that he did some really nice things early in his career as a pass rusher. A lot of people didn't like him as a player because he had some of those stupid penalties that everyone wants to bring up, but I think that he's a quality rotational guy. I think that we were really excited to see him last year, and unfortunately the injury, you know, had him on IR before the season even got started in training camp. But I think he can be a quality rotational player. We'll see how he comes back from the injury. That's always key for those edge rushers when they deal with the knee, the foot, calf injury, stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to track his progression from the injury. But Marshawn Nealand was a guy who performed really well in training camp and in preseason. Like, we thought that he was going to come in and, you know, he was going to be the DeMarcus Lawrence replacement, where you felt comfortable moving on from DeMarcus Lawrence after the 2024 season. But it never really progressed into the season. You know, he had some injury stuff that he dealt with during the regular season in 2024. But I thought even when healthy, we didn't see the player that we had saw at times in training camp and in the preseason, which I think is, that's kind of where I'm at with him now. I'm not really super, super excited about him. I'm not necessarily down on him, but I just think he kind of fits in the same Sam Williams role, where if he's your fourth or fifth guy, you're fine. But I don't think you want to rely on Marshawn Nealand or Sam Williams for that matter to be your two or three. I think that would probably lead to some struggles as a pass rush and a run defense unit.
Kind of live, say, talking all things Dallas Cowboys here on 105.3 The Fan. One position group that we continue to talk about, at least offensively, is the running back room. And the question mark is this group better as a unit this year than it was last season? I say yes. What say you?
It's tough to say, because I think, again, I guess I'm a lot higher on Rico Dowdle after what we saw him do in 2024, after he was kind of given the reins at the running back position. I mean, coming into the year, I guess you could say that this unit would be better than the unit coming into last year, just because we didn't really know what to expect from Dowdle. I think we were all pretty low on Ezekiel Elliott. But, I mean, I think when you take Rico Dowdle's 2024 season, that would be, you know, really the best season of Javonte Williams' career. Miles Sanders over the last 3 or 4 years, you know, he had that last season in Philly where he performed really, really well. But as we all know, that this Cowboys run blocking unit on the offensive line is nowhere near as good as Philly's run blocking unit. So I think that it'd be a little silly to expect Miles Sanders to return to that, you know, 2017, 2018, 2019 form that he showed, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. But I mean, I think Miles Sanders is kind of getting a little lost in the shuffle. A lot of people are excited about Javonte Williams, but realistically, Miles Sanders has been closer. It was closer to his form than Javonte Williams' form. Javonte Williams had a really good rookie season and sophomore season before he got hurt, but he hasn't rebounded to the player that we saw coming out of North Carolina a few years ago in Denver. So I'm not as high on Javonte Williams. I know a lot of people are, but I think if, you know, going into this year, I'd probably say, you know, I mean, for me, I'd rather play Jaden Blue probably as a starter than either one of those guys, but that's probably not going to happen. So you're going to be looking at Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders kind of battling it out in training camp in the preseason, with Jaden Blue kind of being your change of pace back. But I mean, if there's one spot this team's going to add another spot, another player this offseason, you feel like it could be the running back position. So that's just one to kind of keep some eyes and ears on and see if they maybe find a veteran that can come in and serve as their true running back one, because I don't know if they have one on the roster right now.
Really? So you think there's still a chance that they could go shopping at running back?
They got one, Connor. Kevontae Turpin, man. Brian Schottenheimer's putting him at running back.
Hey, you never know. I just like, you look at the advanced metrics and analytics, whatever, you know, that stuff can get a little crazy at times, but just, I mean, Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams were two of the worst running backs in the NFL over the last 2 or 3 years and rushing yards over expectation. So Denver's run blocking unit was pretty good the last few years. Like, you know, he fell out of favor in Denver behind Jaleel McLaughlin and, you know, a few other guys. So it's hard for me to get super excited about Williams, and it's hard for me to get super excited about Miles Sanders too. I mean, he lost his job to Chuba Hubbard and, you know, kind of fell out of favor in Carolina. And it's not like Chuba Hubbard's a top five back in the league. So I don't know. I feel like there's no firepower in that room. And to me, the most exciting back they have is Jaden Blue. And it's just hard for me to imagine that they're going to throw him into the starting role, as he's kind of never even got that in Texas.
I got an off the wall question. Obviously, with training camp being done, sometimes we see some deals get done in the kind of doldrums of this leading up to Oxnard for the Cowboys. Do you see the Cowboys entertain anything? I know you just mentioned running back. Is there any other position you think they'll entertain as far as bringing guys in to work out or making a trade?
I don't know. I mean, they've been more aggressive, I guess, with the trade markets over the last few years in the offseason than I guess I normally anticipate them being. I mean, the George Pickens move was a pretty big splash for them. I think they're going to get to the point where you're going to get into, you know, the part of roster cutdowns. And we've seen a few veteran players get released here recently. I know like Jermaine Pratt got released last week. So you might get some of these veterans who, you know, are just not fitting in, gelling in with new coaching staff like that. So I just think the running back position is one, you know, position to kind of keep some eyes and ears on as we progress through this offseason. Outside of that, I mean, the Jalen Ramsey stuff popped up. I don't think that's realistic. They drafted Savon Revel in the third round, and I think that they're hoping that he'll be back. It sounds like Trayvon Diggs might be a little ahead of schedule. So I don't see any positions that really jump out to me other than the running back position. But even then, they have, you know, two veterans. They have Jaden Blue, who they just drafted. So it looks to me that they're pretty set heading into training camp unless they see something that they have to jump at. And to me, that would have to be the running back position because I feel like they're pretty set everywhere else going into training camp.
Two names that a lot of Cowboys fans, myself included, wanted to see more playing time out of was Israel Mukwamu and Wanye Thomas. Do you think they play a role and what role in this upcoming season?
I mean, depending on what some of those injuries look like at corner, like we could finally see Israel Mukwamu kind of get some of the nickelback roles that, you know, Jordan Lewis leaving in free agency. We saw Israel Mukwamu play like one game in the playoffs a few years ago at nickel and played really well. And then ever since then, it's been back to kind of his rotational role. Wanye Thomas is a guy who I think's performed really well in his limited opportunities at safety. Neither one of the safeties really, I mean, it's kind of like the running back room. I think the safety room's a little more solid and set up for success than the running back room. But for me, I would like to see Wanye Thomas and Israel Mukwamu get some snaps at slot corner for Mukwamu, safety for Thomas, and see if those guys can push, you know, some people on this roster. I mean, I'm interested to see what De'Ron Bland does this training camp. And, you know, they talked a lot about, you know, him playing some in the slot and OTAs and, you know, how he didn't really want to do that because he felt like it was kind of hurting his money a little bit. But if they're able to get a deal done, you mentioned, you know, deals and trades and stuff like that, like maybe they can pay De'Ron Bland early and say, hey, look, here's your near the top of the market setting contract. And now, you know, we're going to give you some reps in the slot to kind of fizzle things out a little bit. But Mukwamu is a player that I really like. I think he never really gotten a fair shake at the nickel spot. He played in the playoffs one game for Dan Quinn a few years ago, and then it kind of disappeared from there. But I'd like to see Mukwamu get some nickel back snaps and then Thomas get some of those free safety snaps in training camp and all too.
For as much as we've heard about, you know, everything has been done on the field, you know, you mentioned George Pickens and, you know, the draft and what have you. What are your thoughts so far off-season-wise of what we've heard out of Brian Schottenheimer, the staff he's assembled, and just kind of the overall vibes, whether it's Micah Parsons calling him or just him doing his shoddy thing? Just your first impressions of Brian Schottenheimer.
I mean, I'm somewhat young. I'm 29, so like I really only remember Jason Garrett being around. I'm not really, you know, Mike McCarthy. I was there for that, and this is the most excited I've been for a coaching staff, and I mean, truthfully, my lifetime that I've been, you know, been able to understand the game and know what I'm kind of seeing and talking about a little bit. But and it's really just talk. I mean, that's what I think everybody's got to remember and understand is. They could get in the season and lose 17, 18, you know, 17 games and it go away real quick. But just from a hearing him speak and kind of we've heard the word culture so much this offseason, but just kind of feeling like the culture that he's starting to build and in-house, it makes you excited. And I love some of the assistant coaches that were brought in this offseason. So I think that with the assistants and Schottenheimer kind of playing that CEO, and he's going to call plays on the offensive side of the ball, but he's got a really good staff on the offensive side of the ball that I think will help contribute a lot in the play calling and play design that I'm excited about this coaching staff. I mean, even if things don't go well this season, I just feel like now more than the last 10 to 15 years that they actually have a quality coaching staff. And that's just not the head coach. Like, there's been good coaches that have come through here. I mean, again, I know a lot of people don't like Dan Quinn after how the playoffs ended a few years ago. But I just think that from the defensive side to the offensive side to the special team side, that you can kind of go through and get really excited about this coaching staff. It's not any of the Nepo babies that we know this organization likes to bring in, you know, familiar faces and friends of the family. And it's just a lot of new faces that this, you know, Brian Schottenheimer either went out and got or had some feelings and talks with people that said, hey, these guys are really good coaches. You need to get them in. And that's what's exciting to me, is it's not a Scott Linehan returning. It's not, you know, Matt Eberflus did come back, but Matt Eberflus has been a really good defense coordinator. I know he is kind of a familiar face in the building, but the Clayton Adams of the world, you know, the White Cottons of the world, like, those are all guys who don't have any ties to this team and have been really good coaches in this league. And I think them going out and getting some of those unfamiliar faces and fresh voices could go a long way and just the overall coaching staff of this team finally.
We got sidetracked here. It looks like Tyrese Halliburton's hurt. This could change the total trajectory of this game.
Kind of doing a housekeeping, who would you say are those leaders and culture setters that you're looking for in 2026? Obviously, Dak Prescott, Micah, and CeeDee being some of those. But who are some other guys that you're hoping, whether it be on the field or in the locker room, kind of setting the tone and culture for this team?
I'm interested to see about Osa Odighizuwa, who's, you know, never been like a real vocal leader, you know, the years that he's been here, but he just signed a really big contract at defensive tackle, and he's always been healthy and played at a high level since he's been here. So Osa's a guy that I think could step up and play more of a vocal leader role. But I don't think you can look past Tyler Booker, the first round pick this year out of Alabama. Like, it sounded like going into the draft that that's what this team was looking at from some of these draft picks, with guys who brought in the leadership qualities that they want. And that's not always a good thing. I'll say that firsthand. Like, I want the best players. I don't care if they're great leaders or not. Like, there's plenty of people who don't think Michael Parsons is a great leader, but he's one heck of a football player. And I'd rather you be a really, really good football player first than a great leader. But Osa Odighizuwa, I think Michael Parsons is maturing and growing into that leadership role that we've been wanting to see. Savon Revel, the East Carolina corner that they drafted in the third round, you talk to a ton of people, and I mean, you can't say enough good things about his character, his leadership quality. So I think there's going to be a lot of young players that have a leadership, say in this locker room. And that's kind of more what I'm interested in than some of these veterans. I mean, the veterans that have been here for 3 or 4 years, they've kind of seen the end of the Jason Garrett thing. They've seen the Mike McCarthy thing. So I'd almost like to see some of these younger guys, whether they're rookies or second-year players, step up into that leadership role to make you feel like, okay, like, you know, some of these veterans who've been here for 5, 6, 7 years, at some point, you know, no matter if they're great leaders or not, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, those type of guys, like, you'd like to see the youth of this team start to kind of take over and really set this team up for success over the next, you know, 2 to 4 years, instead of just one more year in this window that we seem like is closing probably quicker than it's staying open.
All right, last thing, and let's just have some fun real quick. From the Connor Livesay Twitter account on June 2nd, 2025, which is something we like to do here on the program, what we like, courtesy of Blake Elliott, Connor Livesay tweeted, "I am not a fun hater, but I do not understand the Savannah Bananas hype whatsoever." A couple things. One, I couldn't agree more. B, 30 seconds or less, explain that.
I'm a big baseball guy. Like, I love baseball. I'm a Yankees fan. I know people probably listen to this. Cowboys and a Yankees fan, you're one of those.
Yeah, but you are.
Big baseball fan. Like, I coach a showcase baseball team. I played baseball. And that's just not baseball to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's – nothing makes me madder than when I go on Instagram at 8 o'clock at night and I just have to watch the TikTok videos or Instagram reels of the Savannah Bananas, like, doing a dance. It's a circus.
Yeah.
And it's not baseball, and that's what I hate. And then I hate that it's, like, $600 to go to those games. And like, who would pay that type of money?
See, they try to say it's a family. I just read an article the other day, though. They claim that it's a family friendly event, and that they're going out of their way to create a sec. They're creating a website so that you don't have to pay those prices on the secondary market, because they want to keep it affordable for families to come out and enjoy their mockery of baseball.
Well, again, if I'm a parent, I'm going to go, hey, I'm going to pay $200 and we'll go take our kids to go see the Rangers or the Angels or the Yankees.
Real baseball.
$250 to watch dancing.
Yeah, I'm here for
baseball.
Connor, one of the things and why I wanted to bring you on the show way back when you made your debut here was that you have some off-the-wall takes, which I am a fan of. So I do appreciate that, and I appreciate that you buck the trend of this Savannah Bananas nonsense, and I'm here for it. Real quick, so the folks get more of this vitriol, where can they find you at on the X and the Twitters?
Yeah, Twitter, X, whatever people call it nowadays, is at Connor NFL Draft. Slow season right now, as we've kind of talked about, so not a whole lot of breaking news or exciting football content going on, but it'll be here before you know it. So if you want to hear about how much I hate the Savannah Bananas until then, just make sure you follow me over there and all the work that we're trying to push out at Blogging the Boys.
I love to see it. I love to hear it. Connor, great stuff from you as always, my friend. We'll do this again when this thing is for real, for real. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, let's switch gears a little bit, talk a little NBA. Don't go anywhere. It is the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
After dark.
Thank you, Ross Lebensky. Kevin Durant, will he get traded? Yes, but when and to who is the question we're all asking ourselves. While you're listening to the Fan After Dark, we're going to give you as much answers as possible, as much information and giggles so you can pass it along to your friends at work and have something to chat about. Fred Davison across from me, Ross Lebensky behind me, and my name is Blake, who is speaking to you right now.
Kevin, my name is Blake.
I think that could be a show.
Oh, it absolutely could. Let me tell you something. I just saw something yesterday where it's some dad and his daughter on YouTube. Little couple scenes that kind of left me a little unnerved. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, we could absolutely do a show called This Is Blake. And it could be whatever. I mean, you could stream it. You could just Blake doing Blake things. I mean, who knows?
We still got to do the Frank and Blank.
The Frank and Blank, yes. We definitely have to do that. And then we got to figure out what we're going to do tattoo-wise. But we'll talk about that in the 9 o'clock hour. And we need to figure out what we're doing for top five, too.
Well, what I want to talk about first is Kevin Durant. We get a new update. We've been getting updates five times a day on what teams do want him, what teams don't want him, Seriously. What he wants, what the Suns want, what the offers are looking like.
Can we agree that Shams is no Woj, by the way?
Shams.
And he'll be Shams to me until I feel like he gives a proper Woj bomb.
He's giving the Luka trade.
I mean, yeah, because there's nobody else. I mean, somebody had to report it. But I'm just saying that this could be done in 24 hours. Yeah, that was Saturday. We're still waiting. Well, see, Woj knew what he was doing. Woj never gave a timetable. And maybe he did, but I don't remember him being quite as frenetic.
So the thing is Woj would just tweet when the
exactly.
trade happened.
Exactly.
I don't mind the daily update.
Yeah, but so a deal could be done in the next 24 hours, and then nothing happens.
Well, it could be.
Shams, you're doing too much, bro.
But he also explains why it falls apart. So let's go right here. Why one team has fallen out of the running? This is the team that Kevin Durant said he has no desire at all to play for, and this one broke my heart because I wanted to see this duo linked up. But here's Shams take this team out of the running.
I'm told the Phoenix Suns remain in active conversation.
fans around the league on a Kevin Durant deal, but their focus over the last several days has been on three teams, and that's the Miami Heat, Houston Rockets, and Minnesota Timberwolves. We know his preferred destinations, though, are the Rockets, Spurs, and the Heat. And so the Suns have been working with Durant's business partner, Rich Kleiman, on just figuring out exactly where he could end up. Could it be one of his three preferred destinations? Could it be a wild card team? Because listen, at the end of the day, his expiring contract of $54.7 million is going to play a part in this. And I'm told Durant has no desire to be in Minnesota with the Timberwolves. So how does that shape how the Minnesota Timberwolves and other teams that could have interest that are outside of his preferred list decide how to move forward with these Durant discussions? I'm told
does not want to be in Minnesota.
Woj audio would never cut out like that either, so just put that out there.
Does not want to be in Minnesota. How does that make you feel after hearing that? I thought he would want to be. I thought if anything, maybe Phoenix would not want to, but I would think that him and Ant, they're buddies, besties.
Yeah, maybe he didn't want to live in Minnesota.
They play basketball indoors.
You still got to drive to your house. I mean, it's still cold.
I mean, I guess that's why he wants to go to Miami.
I mean, I was going
to
say,
so he doesn't care about winning. This isn't about winning. It's about lifestyle.
Well, I mean, I think he Minnesota cares about and Miami part of it. But I mean, Miami.
He has Miami ahead of Minnesota. There is in no way you can tell me that's a better
basketball. I'm with you on that. I mean,
situation.
I told you the other day that if he goes to Miami, it's just Phoenix 2.0 at that point, right?
But like, way worse. Devin Booker is three times the player anybody on the Miami Heat.
Absolutely. Look, I don't disagree, but I'm just saying, I mean, maybe he likes Spo. I don't know. And maybe they've got other things that they're planning on doing. Or maybe he just thinks from an Eastern Conference standpoint, if he's thinking, all right, well, they'll go and grab somebody else. I don't know. That would be my guess.
Well, that plays right into the other team.
Real quick, one other thing, and you remember his business partner / CEO is part of this. What do Texas and Florida have in common?
No state income. Well, one thing, a place that has plenty of taxes, but it is Kevin Durant's first option, is this team right here.
KD wanted the New York Knicks. He wanted to go there. The Knicks have no interest in bringing him in, which probably makes Knicks Nation, I don't know, probably quite interested in why not. I think these three choices are by default. He definitely doesn't want to go to Minnesota, but I think there is some fear from him at Rich Kleiman that they're hoping that there's going to be respect at Kevin's age to give him what he wants rather than try to trade him like he's 31 years old, which he's not anymore. I think they're trying to get a major haul, but they're hoping that they work with him and get it done.
So the supposed offer that people are coming out with online is Karl-Anthony Towns and a random bench player that I don't even know how to pronounce his last name to match salaries for Kevin Durant. So pretty much Towns for Kevin Durant straight up. If you were the Knicks and the Suns, who hangs up first?
Man. Karl-Anthony Towns for Kevin Durant straight up. I mean, if I'm the Knicks, I'm probably not making that trade.
Not.
Probably not.
If you're the Suns, you do, though, yeah?
How old is Cat at this point of his career?
Let's see. Cat, age 29. Turns 30 in November. So 7 years younger.
I mean, I'd have to wait and see what else was being offered.
As in, if you're a Phoenix?
Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of stuff out there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I'm not necessarily sold. I mean, if you told me I could get Jalen Green and Jabari Parker, Jabari Smith.
Would you do this? This is the Raptors deal. RJ Barrett, Jacob Poeltl, Yodel, whatever his last name is, a second round pick, and a 26 and 2031 first round pick.
I'm still hanging to see what else is out there.
Miami Heat. Andrew Wiggins, Duncan Robinson, Khalil Ware, 2025 first rounder, this year's 20th overall pick, and a 2031 first round pick.
Yeah, no, I'm still working on it.
Minnesota Timberwolves, Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, Rob Dillingham, and a 2025 first
round. I mean, that's a wild trade, right? I mean, I would certainly. I mean, to me, that's the best one of the deals so far.
The Houston Rockets, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, Jock Landale, the 10th overall pick in this year's draft and the 2028 first round pick.
Is this who's doing these together? Bleacher Report?
No, this is
who's doing this?
This is SB Nation, but it's just
okay,
kind of
equally as asinine.
Well, it's not really theirs. It's just kind of compiling what everyone's been saying into one.
Well, and maybe this is the post Desmond. I mean, maybe this is the post Desmond Bain. You know, offer. I mean, Jabari Smith, Jalen Green, and two first-round picks for 37-year-old Kevin Durant. Are you insane?
I mean,
if I'm Phoenix, if that offer came across my table, done.
Or would you do the Spurs? Harrison Barnes, Keldon Johnson, and Devin Vassell.
No. If you told me I could get Jalen Green and Jabari Smith, two top five picks, who have been decent players, right? I mean, Jalen Green's a 20-point scorer in the NBA.
Now, here's my other question. Yes, I think the Suns will take those top three offers. If you're the Spurs, if you're the Rockets, do you take the Kevin Durant offer knowing that Giannis could also be wanting to trade out later down the deadline closer to the start of the season? Do you pull the trigger on a Kevin Durant and then maybe lose out on Giannis? Because Giannis has made it clear, like, he's not, like, obviously signed a new deal, but, like, I kind of want to be here, but you know, the door's open.
Now, and I'm going to tell you why, because at this point, the Desmond Bain trade has...
I don't think the Desmond Bain trade, I've kind of sat on, I don't think it's that crazy anymore. Those aren't going to be good picks.
I don't care.
KCP,
it doesn't matter. Four first round, look.
Yeah, it does. If they're non-lottery picks, first rounders are not that important.
How do you know that? They said that 3 years ago when the Brooklyn Nets were supposed to be crappy too when you had a big three.
I don't think those picks are going to be as valuable. I do think the headline is crazy, and then they had to throw those in because of how bad the KCP deal is. He's not playing well, and he's making a lot of money. So you had to attach some picks to him to get him out of there.
Then attach two. Four first round.
Probably two was with it, and then they said if you want us to take KCP, just the deal probably was two. We need another first rounder.
Four first round pick. I don't care who you are. Four first round because it's still trade bait down the line.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, why do we love Sam Presti up so much?
I think
because he's acquired so many picks.
I think they overpaid maybe a smidge, but not as much as I thought
initially.
Dude,
it's Desmond Bain.
He's nice.
I don't. Yeah, really? Yeah, because Memphis looked great in the first round.
See, you're
no,
twisting.
No, I'm not.
Desmond Bain was
anything.
The only reason they were good in the first round.
Okay, great. All right, but it's Desmond Bain.
What does that mean?
Okay,
you're saying his name.
Okay, he's a good NBA player. I mean, you act like this puts Orlando in another stratosphere.
I think they can make the finals. Yeah, with Desmond Bain.
I mean, we'll find out. But I'm not
Desmond
Bain.
Since he's coming to the league, third best catch and shoot player in the NBA. Orlando Magic last year, the worst 3-point shooting season since like the last 15 years.
Look, I and if it works out, great. All right, but I'm not giving up four first-round picks
for
Desmond Bain.
They had a bunch.
I mean, that's just to me. And maybe there are other picks they've acquired along the way.
A lot of them weren't even their own picks. It's just they had a bunch of picks. They know their team was needing shooting, and they get one of the best shooting guards in the league. They didn't have the ammo to get Jaylen Brown or anything. I think Desmond Bain is a good fit. Does the four first-round picks jump off the page? It does, and I thought it was an overpay. But the more I sit on it, I don't think those picks are going to be that valuable. KCP has a terrible contract, and they got a really good player out of it. If they make a deep run, no one's going to be – well, they should give them three picks rather than four. Now, obviously, if they suck and all those picks end up being lottery picks, of course we're going to go like
that.
Well,
stupid.
That about any trade.
I just feel like that's a lot to give up for Desmond Bain.
I think Desmond Bain is in the upper echelon of players. Like, he's a top 50-ish player. I don't think he's like some scrub. I think
Desmond
Bain's
fine.
Really
good. Let him be top 50. I'm not giving up four first-round picks for a top 50 player named Desmond Bain.
What's wrong with his name? Why do you keep saying his name like that?
I'm just saying we're talking about Desmond Bain, for God's sakes.
All you're doing is repeating his name.
Well, that's my point. I mean, what are we talking about here? He's the shooting guard for the Grizzlies that you unloaded all this equity for a guy that, again, good NBA player, all right? And look, maybe we're going to see the best of it. Maybe he does put Orlando over the top. But again, at first glance, it seems like a bit of an overpay is all I'm saying.
I think they have a chance to be better than what Memphis was with their core, with Ja and Jaren Jackson.
That I don't disagree with.
Paolo.
I think Paolo Banchero, I'll take him over Ja Morant.
Yeah.
All day, every day, six times on Sunday.
You got Wagner.
Look, I don't hate the trade on the surface. I do. To your point, look, could this thing pl- play out where it's like, you know what? Because look, at the end of the day, if you win a title, who cares, right? Yeah. If you give up 4 first-round picks for a title, will
Mikal
take that.
Bridges got that. Okay, what actually did Mikal get? 6? Didn't Mikal get 6?
I think it was 5.
5?
They gave up 5 for him.
And I would say he's on the same Mikal Bridges. I think doesn't make a little bit better.
And I think that's part of the reason why the Knicks can't do anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you shot your wad on Mikal Bridges. And oh, by the way, where was he? I mean, I guess my point is this.
Right.
When you give up that much, all right, I need you to perform. I'm expecting you to do big things in big moments.
Mikal had his moments. Remember games 1 and 2?
Had his moments.
He had the defensive ones that won games 1 and 2.
Yeah, okay, great. And where was he the rest of the series?
Okay, he's not making $50 million. He's not.
But you're giving up. But I'm giving up a lot for you. I mean, where are we at? I mean, what happened to the days where when I give up a lot for somebody, I need you in big moments, not every now and again?
He was there in big moments. I said he won 2 playoff games with his defensive efforts.
You got beat by the Pacers, okay? I'm not shelling out 5 picks for a dude to lose. And with that roster,
who else got beat by the Pacers? The Cavs. They shelled out money for dudes. A bunch of teams got beat by the Pacers. The Bucks. They traded for Damian Lillard. They got shelled by the Pacers in 5 games.
Well, I mean,
a lot of teams got shelled by the Pacers. City's going to lose the finals to the Pacers.
Well, all I'm saying is this: if you're giving up that, I need a little bit more out of you. If I'm unloading the next half decade of picks for you, all right, I need more than 1 or 2 games where you come to play.
Desmond Bane is not a 1 or 2 game guy, though.
I guess we'll see. Because last I checked, I'm sorry. I haven't heard about him in the postseason with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Desmond Bane is nice. We got to get
him. I hope he is. I hope he is for your sake. All right, coming up next, Fair or Foul. We may already have our Fair or Foul.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, don't go anywhere. You know what time it is, ladies and germs. You know what that music means. You know,
on my 4-hour drive to Houston yesterday,
and maybe it was 3.5 hours, I don't know. But I debated on, should I put an intro together for Fair or Foul? And I'm still not sure if I'm going to do it yet. But anyway, that doesn't matter. Fair or Foul, coming up with an intro for Fair or Foul. All right, let's get right down to it. And I got to give a shout out to our boy Wolchuk from the G-Bag Nation, who credited your boy Freddie D last week when they were doing their NFL segment. So, obviously, the big news last week, NFL-wise, was that Aaron Rodgers signed by the Steelers, $14 million, couch money for our boy, A-Rod.
Can I interrupt you?
Of course you can.
Someone said, Fred from the 940, I got on the Mark Ryan show this weekend. He loves you.
That's my guy.
940.
No, Mark Ryan's my guy. I'll tell you what. Mark Ryan, shout out to my boy, Marky Mark. Marky Mark and I were both at Sports Radio 610 in Houston at the same time, and people used to give Mark a hard time. Mark was and still is a grinder, and I'll tell you what, is not afraid to have an off-the-wall take. I don't agree with everything Mark says, but I am a Mark Ryan fan. And there was one guy in particular that used to go at Mark a little bit. I thought it was unnecessary. So I've been a Mark Ryan guy for quite some time. So shout out to my boy, Mike Ryan, part of the Infinity Sports Radio Network. Anywho, one of my biggest, I look at things outside of your regular intangibles when it comes to what makes a player go.
You do.
Okay. One of the things that if my quarterback wears a wedding ring, out. I'm out on a quarterback who wears a wedding ring on the football field. Well, Zach Wolchuk pointed this out last week and referenced your boy Freddie D. Aaron Rodgers is now a wedding ring wearer.
It's foul.
Okay? So that automatically is foul in my book. However, in typical Aaron Rodgers fashion, there's more to the story.
Talk to me.
Those related to Aaron Rodgers, which, by the way, him and his family haven't always had the best relationship, are apparently questioning the validity of his marriage. That's according to a new report published Monday by the Daily Mail, in which insiders allege that the family is unconvinced the marriage is real, unquote, end quote. And that the new Steelers quarterback may have had a symbolic commitment ceremony instead of a legally binding wedding. Let me just stop you right here. Is that not the most Aaron Rodgers thing ever?
Nothing wrong with that.
Of course he wouldn't have a real wedding. He would just have a symbolic ceremony. I'm not mad at it one bit. The report comes on the heels of Rodgers' stunning revelation last week that he's been married, quote, a couple of months. The ex-Jets quarterback, 41, sent speculation about his personal life into overdrive in early June when he was photographed wearing a black band in his contract signing photo for the Steelers, with whom he agreed to play for on a one-year $13.65 million deal. He revealed that in December 2024, he was in a relationship with a woman named, quote, Brittany with an I. So that just lets you know she's a freak, because anybody, hey, I'm gonna tell you right now, fair or foul, any woman with a last with a I instead of a Y at the end, freak show.
Okay, let's do that exercise.
Kelly,
Abby, Brittany.
Done, dude. CC. I mean, what are we talking about right now? I mean, seriously, you meet a girl named Tori. Done. Where's my bell? Done. Let meet a Tori and ask her how she spells it. If she tells you T-O-R-I.
You better get your eyes ready.
You better get, you damn right you better. Okay.
I was going to say Raphael, but that's probably.
What?
I was thinking of Devers. Okay.
What's that have to do with the I and why?
I was thinking of names. Okay. What's another girl name?
I'm not to get too controversial here, but I'm going to limit this to women.
Okay. What's another girl's name that ends in an I? Bianchi. I was thinking of Bianca, but with an
I. Tammy.
That sounds like a mom that gets.
I was going to say, now she might be in her 50s.
She might be on the PTA.
Not to say that she still doesn't have a few freaky deaky moves left in her. So, you know, I mean, hey.
Sammy.
Now that one's tough.
S-A-M-M-I. Yeah.
I mean, I've never met a woman named Sammy, so I'm guessing that would be short for Samantha. But look, Tammy, which that's a wild pull by you, Jet. That's a wild pull by you, not going to lie. But the Tories, the Kellys, and the Britneys are the first three that come to mind.
Nelly.
Again, I'm going to go ahead and hold judgment on a Nelly. Not going to lie. It sounds like that could be my grandma's friend. So,
someone said Brandy with an I.
Oh, that, yes. Speak from experience on that one. So, Tracy? Yes. Tracy, yes.
With an I is scary.
I think Tracy with an I is scary. You may want to get a baby daddy search on her before you take that one to the next level. Certainly don't let her know where you live. Someone his young, okay, so anyway, he was in a relationship with a woman named Brittany. Someone his younger brother, Jordan Rodgers, and his wife, JoJo Flesher, which I'm not really sure why we care about his wife thinks, aren't familiar with. Quote, Jordan and JoJo didn't go to the wedding and don't even know anything about Brittany. It's Brittany, bitch. What do you need to know? Okay, let's get that straight. About the TV show The Bachelorette, yada, yada, yada. Fair or foul? Aaron Rodgers wearing a wedding ring and having a ceremony as opposed to a real wedding?
Fair.
I think it's totally fair.
It's very
and
Aaron
the fact
Rogers.
That it's Brittany with an I may have to reevaluate my position on the wedding ring wearer, because Aaron Rodgers may
break the curse.
You are 100% right about that.
Someone said Stacy as well.
Oh, Stacy's mom's got it going on. I mean, it's a song.
Someone's called Ashley, but
Okay.
Any Ashley that spells her, look, I met an,
that's pretty crazy.
That's insane, in fact. I'll tell you what. I met an Ashley once that spelled it A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H.
I've heard that.
I don't think that one's that uncommon, though. It's not uncommon, especially, I mean, what it is, you're trying to fancy up a regular name, is what you're trying to.
It's a leg.
Like, please stop it. Just stop it, okay? No, you don't need, you can't gussy up Ashley. You just can't, especially the spelling. Like, what are we doing?
Does anybody have a cool name here? I guess Jet. Jet's probably the only one with a cool name here.
Jet's got a great name.
Like a pretty unique name. Like, you just don't hear it often. Like,
yeah,
I've heard Fred
new.
Before. I've heard Blake. Yeah. Heard Trevor. Heard Alec. Heard Ross.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have a unique name here that's like you don't really hear that often?
I mean, Lucius.
Lucius, yeah.
You don't hear a lot of Luciuses. That's about it. I mean, there's Sean, but that's been worse so the way he spells it.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know it's Sean. I appreciate the S-H-A-N. I mean, I prefer that over the S-E-A-N, seeing, you know. I don't think you can trust anybody that spells a Sean. You can't trust a Sean that spells it S-E-A-N.
Yeah.
Just can't.
How would you spell it? S-H-A-U-N?
I'm spelling it S-H-A-W-N, like every other name.
Sean is probably one of the ones that you can probably do 12 different spellings.
You can't spell S-H-A-U-N, like Shaun of the Dead, I think is a movie that's out there as well. So anyway, I say it's fair and we're excited and hope that, this thing turns around. And the fact that it's Brittany with an I, we are here for it. All right, that's 2 hours in the books, ladies and gentlemen. A final 2 hours of the program. It's going to be a humdinger if we do say so ourselves. We've got a lot to get to. We got a top five that we need to figure out. I'd like to do something moving related. Top five people that you would move for. Okay, and let me rephrase that. Not that you would move for. I'm talking about like if they called you and said, hey, I need you to help me move.
Yeah, we're just going to be naming a bunch of our family members and friends that nobody knows.
Or maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's maybe it's a friend.
We'll workshop what the top five is going to be.
What about top five hacks for moving?
Yeah, we'll workshop with the moving.
Something top five moving related because I've done it 3 times in the last 7 days, 8 days, and my back has had enough. Story time, Blake, where are you taking us?
Well, I got my first guitar and somebody got fired at my job. Next on the Fan After Dark.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.